כהן קולי קוש דיל איל honorable member for nomi is a follower of the Palestinian Authority. While he is out of hospital, but he still receives the hospital care, but he needs to go to hospital almost weekly for the dressing of the wounds and also to relearn how to walk on those issues. I hope our prayers will continue to be with him. And the Koyas will also know that the Crime of Freedom Front has given us another colleague who's not here, but Honorable Marabella will be the alternate member in this committee. The colleague will be,
I could say that you were looking at me with some eye, but they
And the honored member is Nobongwana. Nobongwana. Right? Nobongwana. And we are told that she had to go for something today, but she will be with us in our next session.
We will be having quite an important session on Friday,
where we'll be meeting with the entities, two of them, not to go on any, it's just to understand what they do, what are their plans. So I think it would be good so that she also has an understanding, so that when we override those entities, she has a broader understanding of what they do. So it would be good to see it here. So colleagues, we are now collating, we can continue with our meetings. We have made the opening remarks. All of us do have the agenda. The first item that we have, Father, this is the first meeting we are having in the third quarter of that term. Therefore, the first item we have will be to look at our program for the quarter. And that program is before you. We will then ask the Senator to just take us through the items on the program of what we intend doing. Before she does so, you know that some of the things that we intend doing or that we have to do or that we continue to be serious are issues of air pollution. So they will then reflect on the program. As you will also know, there are these other matters that are of first significance to the department and to us. Protection of our wildlife, in particular, our rhino species. So it will also reflect in the program, because we will, you see, apart from getting what is being done at the level of the department and others that they work with, we will also have to speak to our community as we did last year. And there are problems that we went through, there are problems that we did not go to. So that will also be reflected in the program that Mrs. Matubela will speak to. Of course, there is also this thing we call quarterly oversight of the department and the entities, so that we know what are they doing. Are they meeting their ATP's obligations every quarter? That will also be reflected. But again, one thing that you see, we did a wonderful job, colleagues, of getting the various programs of the department to come and speak to us, so that we understand what they do. We now have a better understanding of all the programs in the department. What we have not done, we have not called the entities in the same way. Entities who come and speak to us on what are their plans, where do they want to go, what do they have, what challenges do they have,
outside of oversighting them, outside of the quarterly reports, outside of the auditor general's findings on their work, just to meet them and hear what they do, what is their health of their portfolios, and what are their strategic plans, what is it that we can expect come end of the financial year, or 5 years' time, or 10 years' time from now. Just as we have done with the products of the department, we'll be extending that principle to the entities. We're not met with the entities, like I was saying to Honorable Morabella, we're not met with the entities in this context. We have met with them to get their budget, not how they view their budget, and indeed intend meeting them on their quarterly reports, but we have not met with them so that we have just a heart-to-heart discussion. What do they do? Are they okay? Do they get the necessary support from all the people that they need to get the support from, including their boss? And I think maybe then we must assert this, as we call them, have a person or two from the board as well, so that we understand what is the relationship between the board and these entities. So yes, that is also reflected in the program. Without any further ado, I will then ask our secretary to speak to us on the program.
Oh, we have not adopted the program today. Sorry.
On the program for today, we have consideration and adoption of the committee program. The second matter is adoption of minutes. Now, I will propose that the adoption of minutes goes to the end, because the substantive issues that we have before us is the oversight report and the program. The minutes can go to the end, because we normally don't take much time on the minutes. Of course, I will then put that to you to see whether you agree with the program as we propose now. Any comment?
Question, morning. I propose that we adopt the agenda with amendments.
With amendments. Okay. So then the minutes dated to June 2015 will be under what is reflecting on item 5, but it will be item 5, be item 3, because your consideration of the oversight report. No, it will be item 4. Your consideration of the oversight report will be item 3. Then discussion will be 3.1. Then item 4 will be adoption of administrative council. I've just been reminded by the secretary that we also have an apology from Honorable Member Spanner in England.
Okay, morning members. As you've noticed, the program we're meeting on Tuesdays and Fridays due to the amount of work that we have to complete before LFK. I will start on today's date, 4th August, where we dealing with the program, adoption of units and consideration of our oversight report to Mpumalanga, Freistata and Gauteng. As just mentioned, Friday, the 7th of August, we will meet with the two entities, South African Weather Services and Sunday, on the strategic matters that requires the attention of the committee. Then next week, Tuesday, remember, it will be a holiday on Monday, so you must take your bookies on time, so that we don't delay for our meeting on Tuesday the 11th, where we'll be getting a briefing from Church. I made a petition there. I've got source. It's supposed to be sent back is in Mangalisha. Also on the same matter, strategic matters that require the attention of the committee, and then as well as a briefing by the department on their quality performance for the fourth quarter. And then the next one will be Friday the 14th. We'll be getting two entities on their quarterly performance Russia was saying that he never invited the indigenous to present their quarterly performance. So we'll be doing that on that Friday. And then the next meeting will be the 18th of August. Also, the remaining two entities will present their Fukuta performance, as well as attending the oversight visit to Gauteng and Malanga provinces. And then on Friday, we won't have a meeting. There's an event that is being hosted by the NGO where they've invited the committee. Also on that Friday is also chaplains and witch training. And then moving to the 25th of August, we'll continue with the MBT's day to discuss on the implementation of the annual performance plan for 2015-16. Again, on the 28th of August, we'll also continue, but we have not confirmed which entity, so I will find out from the department which one we will start with. Or maybe Jerry will give you a guidance there, which one you want to start with. So on the 1st of September, we will be looking at the South African application to the UN on the application that they made to expand their operations. And then progress on Paltisa, job creation on oceans and coasts, and stewardship in the oceans and who's responsible for cleaning up. And then on the 8th of September, Dia will brief us on the valve health study findings. 15th September, we will get a briefing from the department on a progress report on preparations for COP21 in Paris, and also progress in formalizing the IDMCs and the report on the studies looking at the negative impacts of climate change, including health, agriculture, and disaster. The department will also brief us on the status of the asbestos phase out plan. Then Friday and Saturday, 18 and 19 September, we're planning to have a public hearing on climate change, sustainable development goals, and rhino poaching. The first province that is identified is Limpopo. And then following Tuesday, we'll be inviting the department, the provinces, as well as the municipalities on air quality. Because we're expecting a lot of people, we will have that venue outside Parliament, but maybe there's a townhouse or Taj Water, so I'll look at those so that members are on time for a sitting in the avenue. And then lastly, members on the program, we will finish off in the Eastern Cape with the public hearings also on climate change, SDGs, and rhino poaching. Thank you.
Four members, you will, on Friday the 18th, before that, on Tuesday the 22nd of September, briefing by the Department of Environment Affairs, Province by One Airport, we have just been to Mpumalanga and Gauteng on air quality oversight. And what, of course, we'll still read the report. But the state of monitoring and enforcement by our municipalities leaves a lot to be desired. That's why we then, arising out of this visit, decided to call them in, call the metros and district municipalities to come and tell us. By the way, in our findings, as you will be reading, we found that many of them don't even have air quality management plans. Many of them don't even have air quality bylaws. Many of them don't even have staff that are focusing on air quality. Many of them don't even have budgets. Even when they have budgets, that's the first thing that they take and to some other programs, because to them it's not important. Therefore, they can't enforce our air quality laws, they can't even monitor. The companies that they give licenses to pollute, they are more resourced in this area than our own, even they're more knowledgeable than our own municipalities. So that's why we felt like, let's bring them in. So, but bring the mayors and the air quality officers, so that, but of course we would like them before they come, so that when they come, they know exactly what we expect. But it was really frightening to get, I think, I remember how there was, and many other members, remember Makubela was there. It was really frightening to just find out that, you know, this doesn't seem to be any political will at the level of our municipalities to deal with this matter. That really affects the public as a whole. So that's why we said that let's call them in. But that's not the only thing we would do. We'll also be speaking to the department. As you would know, the department is planning to hold provincial summits on climate change. Now, as they hold those provincial summits, we want to load into those summits air quality, monitoring and enforcement as well. But that's what we'll speak to the department, so that we call all municipalities in those provinces and we talk about this now. That's one area of where that we wanted to speak to. The other one, just to give more time, on Friday, 21st of August, the NGOs, we didn't meet with the NGOs as in went to this override visit last week because they were busy with something else. We had an opportunity to meet with them when they had their own summit in Mpumalanga on the 21st of August. Indeed, not all of us might be there, but we must have a good delegation that will go there, interact with them, get what is their sense of our municipalities dealing with issues of air quality, what is the sense of the NGOs. I think the probability is that they will arrive at the same conclusion that they arrived at. But at least we have an opportunity to interact with them on these matters of importance. There is somewhere where we talk about the public hearings. The good part is that on Friday 25th and 26th, on climate change, sustainable development and rhino poaching, the good part is that the department would have briefed us about what is it that we are taking to Paris at the end of this year. So as we go to our communities, in a way, we'll also be getting their endorsement of what we are taking to Paris in terms of climate change, the INDCs, our own national determined contributions to decreasing levels of greenhouse gas emissions. Of course, we'll also be speaking to our people in relation to rhino poaching as well, yes, and also getting updates of where we are from the department, but also mobilizing our people against this scare of killing of our rhino species. So I think that I must just give some more clarity on these matters. Now, the program is before you. We can then hear from you whether we adopt this program and it becomes our working document. Of course, if there are any changes of whatever nature, we'll have to come back to you. But broadly, this is what we want to cover. Quarterly reports, finish what we didn't finish last year, and also do work on air quality, do work on rhino poaching and sanity. How much of it? I'm now awaiting your responses. Honorable Hadde, Honorable Mandela.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm really interested in the problem for us. Actually, I was more interested in getting the report, the CSR report, which you just mentioned. And I also wanted to get an update on what's happening with the operational plantation. I see that information is coming for the. So there's quite a lot of things that should be covered by the program in our wildlife plan. So I'm really pleased we are supposed to be doing the program.
Mamadina.
No, Chair, thank you. before I support the program, just two services we can see. One is around the Samadon equalities with the municipalities. It takes all these things. Now, I know it's a programmatic letter. Will be in the template that will be sent by the secretary ensure that this cover all the respective municipalities so that we have a holistic view around the state of air quality in the municipality. That's the first strategy that I'm seeking. The second strategy that I'm seeking will be on the status of the asbestos in South Blair. Are we going to get as well a holistic picture in terms of the entire country? Where are we in terms of asbestos? Those are the two. So that I must make a proposal if that is not going to be as reflective as it is coming from a province that is asbestos from asbestos 9. So if I can be clarified on it, but I second the proposal that we adopt that. The program, and it is quite detailed, it's comprehensive, and I want this team cut out. Thank you.
I just wanted to check that I'm not allowed because I know that the environmental assessment, but the ECWT programs that they are in the form of projects, but I have other programs that are intending to employ people to create employment and all of that. It seems like our program, it finished it on the content of what the people, companies, and what the environmental affairs decentralization is. I think it will also be good that this will also try to look at, because people are directly affected by the very same project. It's good intentions, but later you find that at the end of the day, the good intentions are tend to be something that was not really intended, all of that. What are we saying about such programs? Can we do something about this as a community intervention? But I support the program as being presented.
Yes. Yeah, no. I think let me start with the methodology of the honorable gentleman. There are six programs in the department. One of them, I think it's also program six, is the environmental programs. Mm-hmm. That's the one that employs firefighters, all those under EP, they're waiting for water, waiting for all sorts of things. Now, when they come on quarter basis, because indeed they have said to us in their APPs, these are how many people they are going to employ, this is what they are going to do. And the work of these EPWT employees is already carved out in their APPs. So when they come on quarterly reports, among other things, in all these programs, that issue will obviously arise. How many people do you employ? Can you ensure that you create job or you employ the number that you say you're going to employ in terms of your targets? But secondly, have you done justice to the communities where these EPWT workers are working, which is your question. So indeed, we have not... It's something that is also very dear to our hearts. Finally, employment people, and whether there are non-negative impacts, in those programs, which we can stick to when we deal with the quarterly reports of the department in all their programs. So that's how we thought we would attend it. But we can hear from you.
Okay, no.
Thanks,
sir. Maybe partner really about the response. But we are going to really help so that we can have a better understanding. Because that's me, an example, what motivates my question. It happened that we work for one program which is under the species of the environmental affairs. We are doing that between the three states of the local municipalities, between local and three states. We'll call them by workers, obviously out of frustration and all of that. And I think some attention will be used. If we follow news, which has been on news posts. Where people find themselves in bad working conditions, some being injured, and not being compensated, as I said, and all of those things. Now, that comes out of the media, it looks like the intentions of government are not really. That we may be one of them because conditions of employment, the many ways that we can speak in terms of EPWP intentions and all of that. Now, if the reflection that we will not go to the public representatives and the department itself, maybe perhaps it will have so that we begin to learn out of this thing so that as and when we interact with the national programs, we can see that part of our own observations, these are the weaknesses. We just leave projects to whatever persons who will be sponsoring or will be mentoring the EPWT participants and you leave them there that nothing happens. You only have when one reports or when there is something that you see that maybe the police have done and that you can't read like that. They drop out monitoring of some sort of electronic so that they were not projected in a bad light all the time. That's the whole motivation of my input.
Well, I agree, Honourable, that if you can give us the details, so that when we interact with the department, then we have these specifics. In fact, we can even write to them before they even come on the quarter report, that among other things, can you give us details of this, of what's happening in this part of the area.
Our responsibility in the management is oversighting the environment. Now, if we could time the meeting with the financial resources, we're supposed to move about and get as much information as we probably have to make it. Now, we are not able to be everywhere, and certainly we rely on the regional nationality. But ordinarily, all of us as public are supposed to be out there, see whether the money and the programs that have been told to us in this kind of an environment is actually what's happening outside. And this is not a big one of the other challenges emanating from such problems. And we are supposed to highlight those and make sure that the money deals with them. But yes, where all of us as individuals who have been through the that particular information, that brings us forward. And ensure that the government or government attends to that matter.
My other matter that has been raised on the Equality Summit. Well, first of all, what is the intention of the Equality Summit? One is to deal with the observations that we are raising in the report, where municipalities don't have human resource. Secondly, they don't give budgets to this important area of work. Thirdly, there are air quality management plans. Fourthly, they don't even have air quality bylaws. Now, what type of a government? How would you regulate this air pollution space when you don't have bylaws? Now, as they come from Mabilo, as metros and districts, we would like to get a holistic view of what's happening in their area of jurisdiction. The districts also have their responsibility. In fact, in some districts, this area of work is being conducted by the district on behalf of municipalities. But of course, we want to know what human resources there. Before we even have this meeting, we must also interact with the department, because they said that they have documents that says for this level type of municipality, these are the numbers of people that need to be there to assist us in the equality space. So we will have a template that we can send to them beforehand, before they even come, that from what we know, these are the numbers of people you are supposed to have, these are the experts that you are supposed to have. As you come mayor or deputy mayor with your air quality officer, please answer these questions. You will have this thing. If you don't, why? Because by law, you are supposed to have this thing. It's not a nice thing to have. It's a constitutional obligation. 24E of the Constitution says we must protect our people from the harmfulness of the environment. Are you taking serious your constitutional obligation? So, indeed, you are right. Before they come, we will not only be concentrating in the district office space. We also want to know the municipalities. If we had the means, we would have called everybody. All these municipalities, young and small, old and young, to this summit. But for obvious reasons, some won't even be able to come. But of course, in the main, we will also be concentrating, as you will know, on Mabilo, to these air quality hotspots. We know Northwest is one of them. Also, Gauteng, some parts of Gauteng and Mpumalanga, and also some parts of Durban. So these are areas that we'll be zooming into. But it doesn't mean that other municipalities do not have the responsibility as given to them by the Constitution. And again, we can't have mayors and everybody else who do not take their constitutional obligations seriously. This is a constitutional obligation. We are told that the department has broken them so many times, there have been workshops and whatnot. By the way, there was a time when all this type of work was done at national level, and the responsibility was then given to districts and the metros, and after that to local municipalities. But after so many years that this has been done, we didn't find any joy at all. We didn't find any joy. And in fact, you know, Sadie Lane is a district, isn't it? In that district, there's only one person who deals with air quality officer. Finish that. Not people under him. And so it's quite a seriousness. I'm just mentioning one, but there are so many others that are almost the same. But to answer your question, yes, we'll be calling the district and metros, but when they come, they must speak. And give indication of the municipalities that are within the district on this parliament. So this.
No, first, on the version of the definition, quite interesting point, because municipalities and the quite of people at the end to say that that's not our primary kind of mandate. What do we believe is then that the responsibility seems to be really confused. Look, as much as that is our task is to make sure that we deliver services to the people and all of that. The issues of environmentalism, environmental affairs, we have any piece of this business. That's why we say that the mask that you compare with all of these things, because obviously you know most municipalities will see that we can't have a personnel with regard to issues of environment and because it's not our core function. It's the function of maybe provincial or national government, depending on what is that going to say that going to charge. What are we going to say about it? Because I know that they will hide behind a very similar piece of mandate, who's supposed to know what, who's supposed not to know what.
We will send them the relevant legislation as instrument. But, you know, Murata, by the way, what they do best is to license these political. They license, they are the licensing authorities. They license these polluting companies, but they can't monitor them and enforce that these polluting companies adhere to the conditions of their license, given by themselves, not by some departments, some departments. They and they are good at licensing. There are people who just license, but they license without monitoring the impacts of what they license. Now you can't license and you say, no, it's not my responsibility to say that the person have licensed does not pollute the health of the community that I am responsible for. But we have the legislation, we have everything that they are supposed to deal with. And they also know that they are supposed to have quality officers and staff. They know that they said so. They said that they give them their counselors, structure. And some for years that structure has never been approved. But they don't care. But no, we hear you, but we are ready for that every eventuality.
Through you, I think we can also attend to the problem that honorable members are in this comment to say that in terms of human, all the three things, there are regulations and guidelines around national, provincial, and local LTV. So you cannot run away. It's just for you to go back to your name, but as I said, we will be prepared for eventuality. But as I said, he indicated this mandate is derived from the constitution. The guidelines are on the two levels, national, provincial, and local. But we can hide behind that, but we are not at least ignorant. We know the law.
Thank you.
Thank
you very much.
Olaf Mavida has also asked a question on the asbestos phase out. Obviously, it's a briefing that we'll get from the department. Apart from what they do, we'd like to know, working together with other government departments or entities, so that they don't only come here with what they do. They come here with a holistic action by our government, whether it's local, then provincial, or and we have. You know, the stories that we keep on saying, at times those our ways might not be indicative of the difficulties we are faced in this country because of this difficult matter of asbestos. Where even those that are receiving money on their deathbed, is not dead already. So therefore, it's important for us to get to where we are. It's not necessarily a responsibility of the Department of Environmental Affairs. It's with them and also with the Department of Mining or whatever. To a certain extent, to human settlement as well. So they must give us a holistic South African picture of where we are and what has been done to protect again our people from the harmfulness of this asbestos environment. So yes, when you write to them, we'll indicate. But of course, they have the problem now, by the way. The department has the problem now. Of course, if you made any changes, we have changes and the problem where you have made changes. But we also wanted them to make their own comments, of course. But we are quite happy that we must get everything around these issues of asbestos. Colleagues, that then approves the program, and we all agree that we will remove anything that has got nothing to do with us from the program, as indicated by the, I don't know why we had the
Thank you, colleagues. We now get to another matter, and that is our visit. Today we'll have deliberations on this, and we will at some stage, as reflected in the program, then adopt our reports. And my own view, colleagues, is that this is one report that we also need to debate in the House, in my view. So that we bring to the public discourse the importance of this area of work. I think we need to have a deliberation in the House of discussion and a debate in the House. Of course, even though all of us might agree with the findings, but the findings go to the needs of what we want to achieve, all of us, if we are in agreement with those findings. Now, because I'm serving in somebody who's called a whip in this committee, the whip will take us through this report so that we will go session by session, finish the session, then we go deliberate on it. And that is my question.
I take it that you must get the receipt, the documentation. As you may want to understand the one who is interested, talking to the sessions or reading the sessions in the light of time, now that is not so terrible. I can do anything. But let's check what numbers would be fair. I don't know what I consider.
No, sir, okay, I propose that we do the normal procedure. We go through everything. We do the correction for the amendment. Yeah, that's right. It's not easy. It's
not easy. But again, because of the importance, you know, it's not one of those reports that we just find in the ATC. This report has got serious recommendations with regards to our various levels of government and the industry. Yeah,
thanks, sir. No, part of it was for the first time, it has been indicated that to take more consideration of the report that would come out and take the initial adoption. So that's why I was looking at it that way, but the portfolio committee on environmental affairs, hearing after the commission, the Parliament of the Republic of Traffic made oversight visits to the Housing, Free State and Mpumalanga province from the 21st to 24th of July 2015. The oversight visit commenced with a meeting with provinces, municipalities and industry, having an internal hotel in Pretoria, where these spheres of government read the committee on their role in air quality management as per the national legislation, the National Environment Management Air Quality Act number 39 of 2004. Presentations here featured the status of air quality standards and compliance, enforcement and monitoring within the context of existing legislation. Similar specific industries presented the efforts they are making in air quality management insofar as adherence to the existing air quality standards is concerned. They also presented on what they have achieved in terms of compliance with the air quality standards, the rationale for having applied for postponement, and the measures they have put in place to become compliant in 2020, consistent with the licensing conditions. These engagements occurred in the presence of the Department of Environmental Affairs that provided necessary input and or clarity. And share the next sentence, I believe, must be deleted. Yeah, because we can't just tell people where they is and all that. So, yes, I had that input, so I think the committee agrees. The committee went to the Eskom Duva power station in Mpumalanga on the second day of their visit, where the parliamentary delegation was received and briefed by the manager of the power station after the introduction by both Eskom and the chairperson of the committee, Honorable Mutebo. The committee also visited the food bank at Aliti monitoring station, where the committee members expressed their concerns about the inability of law enforcement officers to hold polluters to account despite the high levels of pollution in the woodbank area. The committee further visited the Sasol plant at Sasolburg, which is a large industrial town in the far north of the Free State province, on the 23rd July. It is noteworthy that Sasolburg is further subdivided into three areas: Sasolburg proper, Farm Park, a more affluent cluster of suburbs located about 5 kilometers north of the Sasolburg CBD, and Zambela, an impoverished township for African people who bear the brunt of pollution that emanates from industrial processes in the area. Finally, the committee visited the ArcelorMittal South Africa Vanderbijlpark Parkway, where the parliamentary delegation interacted with the giant steel manufacturing company about its performance in terms of health management standards. The chairperson of the committee opened the meeting by providing the context for the purpose of the oversight, indicating that Parliament, as an institution of public representatives, seeks to ensure that everyone has the right to an environment which is not harmful to their health or well-being, and to have the environment protected for the benefit of present and future generations. That is after open and closed consultations. Consistent with Section 24B of the South African Constitution, he indicated that health would mean protection from pollution in the air, water, food, or soil. This includes protection from dangers in the workplace and from less obvious dangers to health, such as excessive noise, whereas protection of well-being covers both physical and mental well-being. Honorable Mutebo drew the attention of stakeholders to the asbestos case, where enforcement was patchy and many employers did not reduce or prevent exposure to asbestos. Consequently, a long period between coming into contact with asbestos and developing an asbestos-related disease resulted in the situation we had. He noted that the law provided a remedy for those who had suffered an injury, and I thought we may need to say an illness or something like that. But I think we'll consider that when we're talking, which was someone else's fault. But compensation could not bring back health, and those exposed to asbestos in the past, the most deserving of this compensation, continued to die. Honorable Mutebo underscored the need for us as a nation never to allow something of this nature to occur in terms of air pollution, and stressed the need for government and industry to be proactive in managing South Africa's air quality. The same message was repeated at the visit to the Eskom's Duva power station, Sasol's plant at the industrial town of Sasolburg, and to ArcelorMittal at the Vanderbijlpark Parkway, considering the significant impact of air pollution on human health and well-being in the country's air pollution hotspot. And I wish the chair for... the delegations here. Comprised the crew members and parliamentary support staff, and there we are, those who were party to that, and those who apologized are not necessarily mentioned them. But we knew, Chair, as we need to say that, that because Parliament was all over being oversight, some members who served in two or so committees were in other committees, and therefore
I apologize to undertake this particular service. Let's start there. If we can just put the apologies, it would be helpful. Because at any rate, wherever we went, we did indicate the apologies. Wherever we went. So if we can make the apologies.
that is before I get to members, just one thing. You see, when you undertake a visit, if we can start with purpose, because there was a purpose of why we undertook, there was a clear purpose. Why is the purpose I have? I've already spoken to Scotty on that, so that we talk about the purpose or whether before it was actually not happening, it was actually not happening. But it must be clear in people's minds why we decided to undertake an oversight visit on air quality. And that purpose is well put, and we had written to all those that we asked why we're coming there. So it's just one thing, just in passing, that we must also mention. Colleagues, any other matters that colleagues would like on this sector? It's up to introduce what we did. It cannot go into the meeting of why we formed.
Thank you, sir. To give my take as a member of World Finance on the transport oversight issue, I think it is two issues of what transpired during our oversight. So I have no issues. The reflection of what Honorable Makubeda said, okay, instead of trapping the needle, we must put it in the head.
Yeah.
I think that would be it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other takers, Marvin?
Sir, I was not there, and I'm one of the members who submitted an apology, which is my problem. I was a social development. If we agree with the trust in as much as I was not there, but we cannot say that this, we don't know what kind of diseases will cause that asbestos. It's asbestosis. So I'm just requesting, recommending this reflect that payment is being caused.
Yeah.
That's all, but even if I was on the church, I understand as a member of the school.
Just to add to what Honorable Mabilo is saying, this was the church was always saying this. People had respiratory problems that they are experiencing because of the emission of the
asbestosis then also ravages your lungs and everything else. Of course, it also causes the respiratory difficulties because of the small particles that get out of this and get into your body. And as your body, your inside rots, it's a painful death. But we agree with you, Baba. Yeah. So we will include that. We will also include the colleagues who requested that who apologized. We are done. Oh, Mama, I'm here.
Also, Chairman, I just want to apologize, not to the part of you for my side, because the other committee, the Mayor of Support, is in Holland, and I'm paying you for my to a couple of
colleagues, you see, we got your apologies. Now, don't repeat them. We got your apologies. Now, you don't need to repeat your apologies. Including those who were sick. We got your apologies, like member Edwards. We got your apologies. So we did, and also member Double One. Yes, we got her apologies. Okay, now you are the only person I complained about, but we'll leave it for now.
Apologies.
Okay. Now we let
I was in GIAD by that time. In oversight of food.
Okay, no,
thank you.
Fine.
But you got my apology.
And I got your apology, though it came late. We expected you to be with us. All of a sudden, you were with us.
Mm.
And my fine. That was only a lifetime experience. Can you get a question too?
Reflect the first day on the hearing.
You say so, why don't we say so? First day of the
public hearings or first day of the oversight, and then you can then the hearing for the order. So that we return the first day again next Wednesday. Thank you.
Anyway, Chair, as well, whether it's the hearings, we may want to look at that concept.
Yeah.
Because I think without debating it now, and that's the telling the committee that it may not augur well to say do a hearing.
Yeah.
But it's okay. Well, the department opened the presentations by responding to specific questions that the committee raised in the invite or letter that was sent to the department via the Minister of Environmental Affairs, Ms. Namulewa. Accordingly, the department responded to the following issues. First bullet being how the department was going to monitor the plans of the third companies that it granted postponement to ensure that those companies adhere to air quality standards. The second bullet being the outcome of the air quality study that was conducted in the past. The third being the level of current penalties for companies that do not adhere to air quality standards and the relevant legislation, considering that the committee recommended in its previous oversight report that companies that are contributing to air pollution should be penalized and compensated for ill health that they impose. The committee also recommended that a law should be enacted. Fourth, the current levels of interaction between the department and the affected communities, NGOs, all that. The impact of air pollution on human health, agriculture, and water, etc. So on the third bullet, the last statement, Dr. Scott and Chilek, they need to be moved from there. Yes, yes. Sorry, sir, to go through the report, I indicated some things that I must avoid doing that now. The departmental presentation was followed by presentations from the Mpumalanga Provincial Government, Department of Economic Development, Environment and Tourism, and its respective district municipalities, consisting of Eric Sivande and Kangala. The presentations from Mpumalanga were followed by the Housing Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, as well as district municipalities from the province, including Sidibe, Sizwe, the city of Johannesburg, and the city of Kwam. This may indicate that we left a good way. I think somewhere. The Northwest Province and the Waterberg Mojanala municipality were not present due to cost curtailing measures on travel. And it shows that was not acceptable to the fellow committee members. The issues the provincial government departments and district municipalities were expected to respond to in their presentations included one, how they work with the Department of Environmental Affairs to ensure compliance with air quality standards by the industries in their jurisdictions, the capacity the municipality to monitor and enforce alcohol health quality acts and regulations, mechanisms for ensuring that there is interaction with affected communities to be on par with the processes of police and legislation implementation on the ground, infrastructural capacity to monitor adherence by the industries and their jurisdictions, visitation frequency by the air quality officials to the polluting companies in the jurisdiction, current level of specific pollutants emitted in the air by these industries and whether they are compliant or non-compliant, and lastly, the impact of air pollution on human health, agriculture, and water in Italia. Finally, the potential polluting industries comprising Anglo-American, Eskom, Sasol, PPC, Engine, and Shell were also invited to respond to the following issues. Plans by the companies to show adherence to air quality standards upon the granting of postponement, timeframes by the Department of Environmental Affairs. I insist on saying Department of Environmental Affairs, because if I say it there, to others it's like gay. Hey, bear with me. Types of instruments, B.
being used to monitor pollution, their location and environment. Knowledgeable people, specialists, tasked to deal with this important matter within the respective companies. Studies conducted by specific companies and the frequency of such studies conducted. Current levels of emissions from specific companies. Variations between current emission levels versus the permissible levels. And lastly, the impact of air pollution on human health and the natural environment. In addition, the committee specifically requested ESCOP to indicate when ESCOP will be able to meet the legislated air quality standards as the effect.
Okay, colleagues, we are starting. You know, I think the report is well written so that you can say what is it that they needed to respond to. All of them. And so we are giving you what we have sent to them and what they needed to respond to. Just from my side, here is that whatever it is that you still can't be here. Maybe it's more specific presentations, and again, that's a day one. So.
Thank you, Chair. I don't see where it's mentioned, because you remember, I still raised the issue that we didn't have legislation to monitor voluntary organic compounds, work, and then they had to go to World Health Organization to set the standards. So I remember we said we need to legislate this so that we are able to monitor companies like Chair.
I don't know whether we will find this presentation by company. Why this with the thing that they needed to respond to? I hope that we continue before we even come to. Maybe under discussion.
Okay.
Well, under discussion, we must get what transpired on day one in the interaction between ourselves, the municipality, and the company departments. If it is not happening anywhere, it must have come up. If that will be good, what we have to say. Every man has a tool. You see, we started by explaining to everybody why we're there. You could not just have the presentation without us saying why we're there. We did not go into details, but the chair of the portfolio committee did explain why we're there, why we undertook this visit, why we asked them to come, because indeed we have an obligation to enforce our constitution. But we will find the way. Then it's only then that they then came and made their presentation. After a political meeting, they couldn't come to a meeting and make the who the hell are they? We told them not to address one. Then we invited them to make the presentation. So, we'll that. Which part? The hell?
Whatever that is.
Okay. Who on earth? Even though I'm making that, they could not be that about me. That's what I'm glad.
Baba, just to say, Vanna, as we start, we must, it's us who invite such a presentation. And after explaining what we were there for, we can say in not so many words what we said. Quote, any other input on the
tool? Yeah, so we can just indicate that most of the persons working were not the ones who are actually in charge of the problem. Although we also made some professional, but I'm just in there. Most of the presentation we know that the people working were,
Particularly from the local government
from the local sphere of government, where people that in fact some were just standing in for the equality officers, who had no knowledge of how many companies have even given licenses to, how many visitations they've made to any companies that they've licensed. So now we agree. Of course. Now, my problem, unless you explain it, because my logic is that after we have put this framework, before we even went to Dover Power Station, on the third day, Dover Power Station comes on the second day. On the first day, we had discussions, presentations and deliberations by all this. Is it somewhere here? I don't know. But if it is somewhere here, then we must bring it to day one. It can't be on day two or day whatever. Are you with me, Dr.
Yes, I understand, Chair.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
We need the deliberations on day one.
Okay.
That accompanied this framework and questions, presentations and deliberations.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Mara,
so I thought we'd propose a chairperson because there might be a lot of issues that has been in terms of the structure of the reporters as it is. I would suggest that we allow the flow of the reporters and then later be structured in the manner that is actually being recommended by you, chairperson.
Okay,
thanks. Am I interpreting it right, Chair, to mean the flow, meaning that we run through the spot and no longer in case meeting? And then members may know certain things they want clarity, we do that, but outside of the meeting, then restructure the whole thing. And when we come back up, then it will be a manner that we shall have made in confusion.
Yeah. I think what Mr. Murakala is saying is that then let's read as is. If there is a restructuring, we then come at the tail end. But we can still make any corrections on each and every section so that we don't lose sight as we go on. But to say this section must not be here, it must come here, is something that we make at the end.
Three, which is the second day, the committee talked to the coal fired Dover Power Station in Mpumalanga that has a base generation capacity of 3,600 megawatts. That deal to the power station was necessary because power generation is a listed activity in terms of Section 21 of the Air Quality Act and should hence comply with the prescribed minimum emission standards for existing plants by 2015 and for new plants by 2020. Particulate matter emissions from Dover Unit 1 to 3 already comply with the minimum emission standards for both existing and new plants, notwithstanding the non-compliance of Unit 4 to 6. With regard to nitrogen or NOx and SOx emissions, Dover complies with the minimum emission standards for existing plants, but it will not be able to comply with the new plant minimum emission standards. It was in this regard that the committee had applied for postponement of the new plant for particulate matter, salt and NOx for Dover. It is worth noting that no compliance and enforcement actions have been undertaken against ESCOM's Dover power plant, power station within the last 5 years, although it has been known that Dover is one of the worst emitters in the power plant list due to its age. 3.1, the committee has briefed that the Dover power station is supplied by the largest open-cut colliery in the southern hemisphere, which is already a matter of concern, considering the high levels of particulate matter in the surrounding environment, and also noting further that Dover operates in the FL.4 area. The chairperson of the committee asked ESCOM about what it has done as a hearing company to assess the impact of its operations on people, economy, and the environment. The committee also asked Eskom to clarify its position on renewable energy, considering the fact that renewable energy technology is presently booming. It was suggested to Eskom that it should become more proactive in finding innovative ways to move away from coal to other cleaner sources of energy. In response, the manager of the power station stated, unless the shale gas becomes a reality in South Africa, coal could remain the primary source of energy for Eskom. He indicated that general studies that have been conducted are not on the environment. A particulate matter was confirmed to have impact on human life as it causes respiratory ailments as well as premature death, particularly in the young and the aged. He further affirmed that Zuba has a renewable energy program, which is currently at the environmental impact assessment stage. This concluded the briefing and discussions, and the committee was taken on a guided tour of the Zuba power station. The committee returned to the boardroom, where the briefing took place in Dula and was served lunch before the party for Witbank to inspect the Witbank air quality monitoring station. That part again should be deleted. Although not all of it, the fact that from the way the then went to the monitoring station, that should be captured.
Colleagues, any anything that you want to add?
South Africa has long been heavily dependent on its abundant coal reserves, which currently provide about 75% of its electricity. That means industries such as Sasol is a major emitter of greenhouse gases and pollutants. However, because of the huge strain on the national grid, many major consumers are trying to generate their own electricity or at least have backup capacity in case the grid goes down. Sasol, one of the country's largest industrial companies, and a specialist in chemical manufacturing and alternative fuels, has operated a coal-fired power plant in the city of Sasol since the 1950s. Sasol indicated that it replaced the coal-fired plant with one fired by natural gas in upgrading its energy infrastructure in the industrial town of Sasol to support future growth. To reduce Sasol's substantial GHG emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, and increase its energy efficiency in the face of existing legislated air quality standards. In the briefing with members of parliament in its offices, Sasol indicated that the company was cutting down its carbon footprint. Sasol considered the gas plant a significant milestone as it enabled Sasol to ease load on the national grid and contribute to its own energy efficiency target. The project would enable Sasol to eventually reduce its carbon dioxide emissions by a further 1 million tons per year. 4.1. The chairperson of the committee noted the warm welcome accorded to the parliamentary delegation by the management of Sasol. He reflected on the unfortunate case of asbestos and the class action that was instituted to compensate asbestos victims, which came too late for many people who had died or were dying at the time. He underscored the purpose of the oversight visit to Sasol. It would determine what Sasol was doing in terms of air quality management, asking whether Sasol is protecting the health and well-being of citizens of the country from pollution in its operations. Honorable Mutembu indicated that the committee needed to determine whether Sasol had the requisite technical capacity and the equipment for monitoring air quality in areas where emissions from its operations are likely to impact. He emphasized the need to hold the industry accountable for the social ills that it imposes on society, particularly the poor such as those in the Zambela Township. Notwithstanding
Honorable Mchengu underscored the national importance of transport, especially in terms of investment and employment. Nothing further than rule. Nothing further. It should be nothing. The role that a company plays in the global industrial landscape. He lamented the high levels of unemployment, particularly among the youth, who seemed to have lost hope. Honorable Mchengu stressed the need for the industry to join government in taking unemployment and poverty to create a stake in the South African economy for the have-nots who otherwise are losing hope fast. He cautioned that unless we make unemployment and poverty national issues and deal with them decisively, we run the risk of the unemployed and the poor turning against those they perceive to be better off. In addition, the committee asked also to clarify the usage of low-grade gold that is detrimental to human life and environment, while the high-grade gold is exported. Similarly, Sasol was asked to apply its plan that seeks to reduce emissions of pollutants to progressively ensure that it complies with the minimum emission standards for which it has applied for postponement by 2020. Louis O'Reilly, speaking for Sasol, gave a broad overview of the company, indicating that Sasol has invested 22 billion rand in South Africa, constituting about 57% of the company's overall investment. He indicated that Sasol employed 20,000 people, of whom 70% were local people. And further, I highlighted Sasol's involvement in community initiatives by indicating that Sasol works within 10 high-performing learners from the Black Township of Zambela. These 10 learners are currently enrolled at the Sasol Bank High School, where Sasol is responsible for all the costs of their education and accommodation at the school residence. Sasol looks forward to enrolling these learners at universities where they could, for example, study engineering and medical sciences, and come back to change the situation in their community by being effective role models. Mr. Foray indicated that Sasol has its own watershed, wastewater treatment facility, sitting both domestic and industrial infrastructure. In terms of capacity, Sasol indicated that it has 50 people whose focus is on environmental management and that the company uses a risk-based approach to environmental management. Claims to have done extensive dispersal modeling, and it has the infrastructure capacity to monitor emissions from this operation. Furthermore, it was stated that Sasol's gas plant has significantly reduced the company's carbon footprint and it currently sells excess energy to export. The committee and the departmental staff were driven to visit the steam plant and the first line monitoring station as well as the gas plant. Thereafter, the delegation was served lunch, where the chairperson of the committee room to thank the school. And made some concluding remarks stressing the need for industry to have the legislated air quality standards and be mindful of the health and well-being of people in line with the constitutional directives in this regard, as if that was based on food.
Colleagues, what more?
Yes, I don't have a problem with the content. I'm just one obvious
No, thank you, Chairperson. Not with maybe that intention. To interpret me quite. I can hear that the report in itself distinguishes your name from quite from time to time on the report, Mr. Tembo this, Mr. Tembo that. Instead of reflecting the collective, the community itself, I think it has not really sounds very well. Sure.
Thank you very much, sir. The other thing that I wanted to note, I don't see why it mentioned that we're not allowed to go to the control room where they do the synthesis fuel so that we can be able to see what they are emitting. If it's a full representation of the reports that they are being asked, because they said that we need to have proper testing, they require high levels of logging in order to be able to go to those control room. I don't know whether it's going to be an engineer or two assistants to be held. We will only allow to go through the way they generate electricity, but it will go through the control room where they do the monitoring of steam making fuel produced.
But we did go to where they monitor. Monitoring station, which this is their monitoring station. We did go to the place where there is continuous monitoring or monitoring of PM 10 and PM 24, whatever you call it. What they are not doing now is continuous monitoring of which they said, in fact, I think we must reflect on that it's back in October, of SOX and us.
The commission visited South Africa in the headquarters in the rail park in South Africa, where the committee was welcomed by Mr. Senter, one of
them. Whilst we were there, can we also, because in all these other companies, we mentioned those that spoke to us by name, except Mexico. I think the manager there was Anthony Samuel. Yes, Anthony. If we can make it so that we are consistent.
One of the members of the management team of the steelmaking company on the 23rd of July 2015. We must mention that the commission arrived there due to the work that we did in South Korea. We must somewhat the rider that it is that we arrived in June. And we come here and also that we could no longer do as we wanted to do, like we're doing in other companies. So in the sense we've done some work that we'd like to on even what they said. I'm sure I was introduced as an integrated steel manufacturer producing flat and long steel products that are suitable for further processing by downstream manufacturers for use in the construction, mining, automotive, packaging, appliance, and the general manufacturing industry. Steel manufacturing is complemented by a coke and chemical operation that produces commercial grade coke for use in ferroalloy industry and processes byproducts resulting from the steel manufacturing process. Steel manufacturing has serious implications for the environmental sector involving all the different facets of the environment, including pollution and air quality management, of which AMSA is acutely aware. 5.1. Mr. So presented the safety induction for the committee and the high-ranking officials from the department, whereas the chairperson of the committee made some opening remarks, thereby outlining the purpose of the oversight visit, i.e. to determine the role of AMSA in ensuring optimal air quality management as per regulated air quality standards. He pointedly stated that the committee needed clarity on the company's air quality management and monitoring capacities, including instrumentation. Mr. Spanish, speaking for Solometer, both of them are speaking for Solometer, but we want to indicate that AMSA is the largest steel producer on the African continent, with a production capacity of 6.5 million tons of liquid steel per annum, highlighting the fact that steel is a vital component in the country's infrastructure development, but also noting that steel making has an environmental footprint, also considering that it requires natural resources. Mr. Spanish affirmed that AMSA is governed by the existing environmental policy and legislation in addition to the government's own environmental policy that requires all production facilities to comply with ISO 14001, an internationally recognized standard for environmental management systems. He said that further underscored the progress that the company has made in optimizing its air quality management in recent years, as evidenced by the completion of the new dust extraction unit at Serena Heng Works, the launch of a zero affluent discharge project at Newcastle Works, and its ongoing land remediation initiatives, as well as engagement with various stakeholder groups on environmental issues. AMSA indicated that it supports the Vaal Triangle Airshed Priority Area Source Apportionment Study. The chairperson further asked AMSA to indicate when the VTAPA Source Apportionment Study will be embarked on and completed. The committee also asked whether ArcelorMittal had undertaken any studies to determine the impact of pollution on human health, even at the time when the environment was poorly regulated, for example, under apartheid. Finally, the committee asked whether ArcelorMittal's employees who were not part of that meeting would indicate what the management of the company was saying if the committee had met with them. In response, DIA stated that it leaves the VTAPA Sustainment Study and expected it to start in January 2016, with a due completion date in 2017. On its part, ArcelorMittal emphasized the study of care that it places on all its operations and that it works to improve the safety and health of workers by conducting annual medical surveys and checkups for its staff, especially laborers. It also indicated that it had not undertaken any human life impact studies of its operations, but has in place a program to monitor the overall health of its ex-employees who are presently on retirement and have not picked medical problems at the time of the oversight visit. In conclusion, ArcelorMittal indicated that its ever-existing challenges to produce the steel the world needs while minimizing its environmental impact and ensuring that it contributes to global efforts to tackle climate change and other environmental concerns. Mr. Spanning succinctly stated that we do not, with the quotation that one, yet have all the answers, but we are continually investing in resources to find them. At the same time, we are working hard to ensure that our environmental impact is as low as possible on all indicators. We are aware that environmental compliance is one of our biggest business issues. The meeting adjourned and the parliamentary delegation as well as the departmental staff were taken on a guided tour to see the company's environmental management approach embedded in the steel manufacturing process. Thereafter, the parliamentary delegation returned to its base at the hotel, thereby concluding the oversight. That we can do it.
And of course, we did apologize, but the fact that we are still accommodated by us. By the way, there are certain structures that they took offline because they were emitting a lot over the years. We can still do that as well. And also, that they are honest. Of course, also the amount of resources they have put
in ensuring that they retrofit with the purpose of reducing air pollution and the impact on human life. But any takers? Was just like a Guma key observations we must take us by. What continue? 5 or 6. Yes. Yeah.
The committee noted the following during the oversight visit to the Gauteng and Mpumalanga provinces with or without concern. Bullet 1, 3 district municipalities in Mpumalanga Govan Beke Stipset and Emal Lashin failed to show up at the committee hearing held at the Mansion Hotel in Pretoria on 21st July 2015, notwithstanding the purpose of the oversight visit was to gain proper understanding of the challenges that constrain their effectiveness in discharging their constitutionally mandated roles in delivering optimal air quality in their respective jurisdictions. Thus, the purpose of the parliamentary process was to determine appropriate mechanisms that would facilitate them to do their work better and smarter as far as air quality management is concerned.
Since we're dealing with key observations, I think on each observation, those were there. So that we call it. Yeah. My view is that Steve Tret, Emalashin, it defend people but junior. They were there. When we did not have a person as governor, but we had a person from the district.
I'm not saying it should be reflected in the report, but so that it should not set a precedent for future with other municipalities on the same list, there are no consequences. So I'm proposing that there must be something, even if it's a letter of reprimand or something, so that the other provinces, because these reports are going to be public domain, and then when people see this one was not there, they're happy. They can also not affair. So I think maybe we must. Other things you should need to caution them, something else, so that Elias Co is not left unattended.
And again, another question. These are not districts. The districts in Mpumalanga are Esamzeli, Nkangana, and Gatsibane. So all three districts were there. These are municipalities under those districts. Three local municipalities. Either did not attend when they were on there or sent very junior, non-knowledgeable people on the matters of that. The issue that we are raising, let's see how we capture it under recommendation.
Okay.
But that can only come under recommendations. Yes, yeah. Yeah.
But on the very first bullet, if we want to capture the loss, unless it will come, unfortunately, on this section, I did not go through earlier. So, the point is, we observe that they either do not have the management plan, environmental management plan, or it is supposed to be removed. So, in here, in this municipality, rather than just talking about what we are there to do ourselves and so on, the people, we rather capture the fact that they don't have management plans or they needed to review.
Yeah. Well, if we're talking about Mpumalanga, maybe you then need another bullet after your service, your sector. The one that do have a management plan is Nkangala, but it still needs review in Nkangala district. The other two, your Gatsibane and your Esamzeli, don't have any plans. That will also apply to all the municipalities in Mpumalanga, but all the local municipalities don't have any air quality management plans, nor bylaws. So that should be the next bullet, yes.
Perhaps we can note and try to go through that all, so that we may be to and fro. Maybe that certain things are captured. I'm saying that the witness is that I don't remember. But usually, what you do on your observations or findings is what leads you into your recommendation.
Yes.
You capture them logically like that and so on. The second year is the Northwest Province did not come to the committee hearings. At the Manhattan Hotel in Pretoria, the grounds of the province, but implementing cost cutting measures. It is of concern that Northwest failed to attend the oversight visit here, despite being the province that has highest levels of industrial and mining activity, and also taking into account that the waterbed within our priority area was declared the third national priority area. The inability of certain municipal air quality officers to attend the committee oversight visit hearings, which were aimed at facilitating their work, was of concern, particularly when the Director General of the Department and the 18 National Air Quality Officer were in attendance. 4. Despite the poor status of air quality and environmental degradation,
I'm sure we are making a contrast. National Director General of the Department, which department? We must say. If you have the next DG, we also have the DDG, by the way. Also, the DDG was in attendance, responsible for air quality, and of course, the acting. Yet, in the local municipality, the people responsible, that's the point we're trying to make, the people responsible failed to show up. At national level, the highest administrator, the leader of the department, the highest level, that's the point that we're trying to make.
Despite the poor status of air quality and environmental degradation in the municipalities, communities appeared not to raise air quality issues during stakeholder meetings and rural outreach programs. Issues of lack of electricity, employment, houses, water, sanitation, roads, and stormwater management seem to go over shape concerns about air quality. There are serious capacity constraints, financial, human capital, and infrastructure on municipalities to effectively deliver on air quality management. In fact, many municipalities lack the capacity to monitor and enforce air quality standards, as the whole suite of environmental management is undertaken by a single person. Consequently, there are either no or outdated air quality management plans and no air quality bylaws in certain municipalities. Bylaws does not have an E. There are cases in Tangala District Municipality where there is a municipal air quality officer supported by one designated environmental management inspector. The inability to designate EMIs at the municipal level, for example, 3 individuals qualified as EMIs at the Nkangala District Municipality but were not designated as EMIs, notwithstanding the National Environmental Management Act provides that the NEC may designate as an environmental management inspector any staff member of any municipality in the province. Such designation can only be made by agreement between the relevant NEC and the local authority represented by the executive mayor. There are dysfunctional and quality monitoring.
Can we put this with us? This inability to designate environmental
a possible contract. But that's to say, if anyone, not only did we allow it, it's a worrying factor. It's been a very good situation to have a state unit.
So, I think
can you say that for now? Then the next is that part. If we want to put the mercy arrangement, it must be put in another context where municipalities themselves and officials and the councillors then retirement and take money from environmental programs to other. That's another matter. Yes. Yeah.
There are dysfunctional air quality monitoring stations, e.g. Sedering District Municipality, which renders the enforcement of lines and conditions unvisible. Generally, local authorities issue an atmospheric emission license that are unable to enforce lines and conditions and hold polluters accountable by linking industries to specific pollution laws and or categories of pollutants, with the exception of the cities of Johannesburg and to a lesser degree the city of Ekurhuleni, which could effectively undertake these enforcement functions if obliged. Notwithstanding the ongoing challenges observed, the committee also noted the following significant achievements. There is a general understanding among the different categories of potentially polluting industries that there is a need for them to cut down their carbon footprint to remain competitive and relevant in the face of ongoing environmental regulation. Industry is indeed searching for innovative and smart ways to meet existing air quality standards, and many role players in the industry are gearing themselves to meet the relevant emission targets for which they had applied for postponement by 2020. Private companies, businesses, have the capacity, human capital, financial and infrastructural, they know what is expected of them and are working towards compliance. There were certain companies that had raised concerns that adhering strictly to the air quality standards by 2020 would harm business and lead to job losses. However, the committee's observation is that those companies were merely trying to see how far they could push government to concede to their demands, considering that increased environmental regulation is a global phenomenon. There is a shared understanding by both industry and government to work together on matters that link the two together, such as air pollution and climate change. This has been possible because all South African policy and legal frameworks, including the existing air quality standards, at the input of the business community. We want to say as well something. That sentence, I think, it needs something else. But here we may need to, I think there are other observations other than what we put there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 do not weigh enough to want to commit everybody. I think all we're saying is that we think local authorities, other than just compliance and monitoring of the air permit and the licensing condition, they also just don't take issues of environment as serious. Yes, so I think we observed that and we needed to make a point to come out strongly on the observation time so that when we recommend the level charge coming this week, it's clear where is it flowing from.
I agree with you. Our observations after interacting with all the municipalities that were in attendance, well, of course, also the inability of those that you called not to come, gave us the understanding that there is no political effort of local government to implement our air quality laws. And of course, this is explained by the inability of human financial and even when in some municipalities, when it is the gate monetary sale to this program, this is a shared program to suffer removal of money. We can find a way, but indeed, there is no seriousness, there is no political will, and it's just treated as a by the way problem by municipalities, despite the impact on the public health of the community that municipalities have. So we will go to town so that we are then able to make whatever recommendations, and including qualification.
To the last point under observation, it was the committee's view that in various categories of municipalities, even same category municipalities do not seem to have a standard kind of organogram in terms of how to staff their environmental divisions. So it's something that we may want a national standard arrived at in terms of how do you, when do you say there is enough capacity in a particular metro, because you may have the channel staffing their own differently to Ekurhuleni, differently to Johannesburg, and so on. Because each one of them consider their own challenges in their own way, and there's no clarity about how to do that. The committee conducted oversight visits on air pollution in Gauteng, Mpumalanga and Free State from 21st to 24th July 2016 to complete the oversight visit that the committee made to the Gauteng and Mpumalanga provinces from the 18th to 30th October 2014. I was recalled to come back to Parliament to attend an emergency team of the House. The aim of that oversight was to determine what energy, chemical and steel manufacturing companies were doing and complying with the air quality emission standards set by the National Environmental Management Air Quality Act of 2004, Act number 39 of 2005, in the context of increasing concern of air pollution by local communities in the Vaal Triangle Airshed Priority Area and the Highveld Air Quality Priority Area, respectively. The purpose of this present oversight was also to determine the relationship between GIA, not GIA, GIA, provincial and local authorities in terms of air quality management, as these spheres of government have responsibilities for ensuring air quality safety that has important implications for human life and well-being, as well as the environment and dependent economic system. Similarly, a committee when assess what specific industries were doing in air quality management so far as adherence to the existing air quality standards is concerned. Their performance was further determined in terms of compliance with the air quality standards. The standards have been applied for postponement and the measures they have put in place to become compliant in 2020 consistent with the licensing conditions. These engagements occurred in the presence of the Department of Environment Affairs that provided necessary input and authority. The committee was satisfied that government and industry have a shared understanding of what needs to be done and that the industry is responding well in terms of compliance. There is no doubt whatsoever that the industry is well resourced that will be with regard to human capital, financial, and infrastructure to deal optimally with its air quality management responsibilities, unlike local authorities, which are generally resource constrained to monitor.
True. When you say resource constrained, you're saying you don't have a meeting. Another thing.
To deal with that, or hire or whatever the name,
they have the
skills, they
don't want.
Concern that specific emission laws cannot be attributed to specific types of industry in a polluted area like Winton. This, among others, underlies the committee's recommendations in this report, published below.
Can we call it underlines?
There is a need for dedicated funding for air quality management at the district municipality level for these to have a fully functional and short air quality management unit capable of monitoring and enforcing atmospheric emission license conditions to hold pollutants accountable. There is a need to have mobile.
What was there? Talking about needs for financial, what do we then do? Shouldn't we have a discussion at committee level with what do you call development treasure? Because we have made this observation, we know that there are some reinvest funding that treasury normally makes to municipalities. Shouldn't we look at that possibility of treasury having reinvest funding for municipalities in whatever shares they get from our discussion? Because I'm just saying it because just say there's a need, but you don't say how are we to satisfy the need. It's a recommendation that you might as well throw to the team.
I think that's a very good idea. I
I just want to understand the funding in this context because I think we need input deciding about that to find ourselves contradicting because we strongly believe that municipality can implement the statement that it's resource constraint with regard to municipality. And the later we come on is the funding that is now what we need. The reason why they can't implement some of these things they are a little bit unstand by the resources in which context where we need funding generation. But if we talk about the state municipalities, I want to believe that the
It is very many countries that we have spoken about where we have limited resources for the sector constraint.
These two questions are already raised. The first relates to ask the question for conditional or incentive funding. They declare that for this kind of authorities are not the system around. Now, we cannot, as this platform committee, go trade to treasure and engage them. We don't oversight the treasure. We oversight the department, the minister. Now, whatever we do, we must recommend the minister to consider engaging treasure in things like that for such funds as they are heading to district metros or such brokers and the chief minister. I thought the second issue with regard to whether we believe there is lack of finances or not. Municipalities themselves do ask that they don't have all the resources to fill more, to get the higher skills to do this kind of work. Hence, they will have either four people in an organogram of about 50, and they only employ four or so. So they can't even visit those industries to monitor what they do. So partly it's human resource, but also the risk issues of funding that may be there. So the issue whether it's a resource constraint, whether we're agreeing with it, the issue is at times they buy it. But once there are challenges or difficulties in the municipality, they're quick to shift money from environment to other. So it may not always be that there's no money. It may be that whether they keep environment serious or not, that's content. So there are challenges they have got, yes. So we may want to have a way of raising the source constraints. So they are not just say, we know there's no money, that we can't do anything. Because there's some money there. But on their own discretion, they shift that money to others. It does not happen in the environment only, it is across the country. You can give them money for education. They can shift that money in the province or in the municipality for other things, because they've got their own powers to determine their own budget. So it does not only mean that if they have government, spend their money for whatever, it will do what you want them to do. When they see it as a province, they determine as they want to do. Similarly, when money goes to municipality, they determine their own ideas as local authorities. So you cannot just dictate to say we are giving you money for environmental issues and use it only and only for environment. So let's find a way of accepting that they have the many challenges of resources, but at the same time, it's not always the case. It can't be always the case everywhere, not even in your metros, because most of these air pollution happens in metals, the industry. Now, you can't claim that China, for instance, cannot deal with issues of environment. They have their resources. When they are budget at times, little job. The budget of job is maybe equal or more than that of other provinces, which are rural. So you can't say that metro does not have the budget to deal with issues of environment. But I do. Intent what you are saying, that we must not be conducting that. And that's the point of the reason. We need to find a way of balancing the fact that there is the main constraint, but not always that there are those constraints.
My view is that for those, that's why I was said it was an unfortunate terminology to say that resource constraint, we must remove it. But once we use that type of speaking, because from where we were, the municipality that we met with did not necessarily say that we don't have the money. They said, our bosses don't care about the environment. That is the issue. Now, we need to find an instrument that makes them to care about the environment. Of course, we'll still engage with them, that's why we're calling them. So that we have this engagement and the importance of dealing with this matter. But secondly,
is there a possibility of having a ring fence funding? I think this recommendation is coming twice. There's something about ring fence funding as well. Either through the department from Treasury that goes, you know, the Department of Housing does give the relevant municipality, we have been given the powers to, what do they call it, to develop. They give the money to build this house and they have to report. Can't we find a similar arrangement through the Department of Environmental Affairs where this work that resides with them and there are certain sections that need to be implemented by local government. Can't they then fund that and have that such funding ring-fenced, but we'll find a way how to be properly aware to that, so that that money is not really needed, taken away and used for salaries. Yes, my brother.
Thank you. In line with your explanation, my understanding in terms of the bullet one, there is a need for dedicated funding. That's why I pretty much my argument. There's no need because you are making a very emphatic implementation. There is money, because they didn't complain about that. You don't have funds to do taking this project. They don't need to try to do this the way they did. The men and women should have actually, they still need to have actually. There's no reason. You don't have a reason why are they not doing that. But saying the reason is that no, it's because our managers, they don't want to comply or implement what is required by the law. Once you say there is a need for a dedicated funding, you see that is that they don't have funds to do that kind of thing.
Fine. I
think
let's pass that. We will find a better plan when we are together now. We'll find a better terminology. Perhaps there might be a need for monitoring at a higher level of municipalities meeting their obligations in terms of our culture. That monitoring, including monitoring of use that they have budgeted, monitoring of budgeting, monitoring of human resources, perhaps such monitoring must be located in DIAF, in the Department of Environmental Affairs. I see now where you are coming from. Because then we make a case as if we put it like this, as if they have no money. Okay. But let's go to, we'll find it here.
Here's
a war.
So, you know, money can be there. under those proclamation of municipal bylaws pertaining to all quality management.
I hope, and first I hope. I'm just raising it because we are making a recommendation, but enforced by whom? We need to think who can enforce that? Who can enforce municipalities? Because it will speak to the other issue that we are going to raise. Who are supposed to monitor these municipalities in terms of this NEMA Act? So we will think about it, but we agree with the sentiment, but we must say by whom? Either by DIA, because DIA is in fact the custodian of environmental laws in this country. They are the custodian of all these laws. So whoever is implementing some sections of these laws come from DIA at the end of the day. But it's only that we will have to discuss. For now, let's just put DIA, maybe there could be some enforced idea.
Bearing in mind, Chair, that all spheres of government are satisfied. Yeah, I understand what you want to say. I'm just saying, let's that at the back of our mind.
Yes.
It's not like when you are in criminal level, you are a big brother of some kind. In the mind of people, it's like that, but legally not. So you cannot run there. I want to cause some such a.
It's a point of argument.
Yes.
If you have got a national law, a law that does not come from a province or from a region or from a district or from a metro, all these NEMA amendments, all of them, they've been done by us, by national parliament here. And who is either us or the relevant department, because we oversight the department, by the way, that's why we went there. Even when they oversight adherence, monitoring, and enforcement of the National Act, it's not the Provincial Act, but it's something that we can look at and think about to get legal advice. We hear you. But what housing? Housing can go and take their money if they're not spending it. Finish. They did so in the book, your province, by the way. They effect. So it comes as condition. That's why I said, can this money also come as condition? And any other thing to meet this national legislation obligations?
Chair, I get your point. But let's be mindful that these are local authorities. Which has got a function. If a function is not with that municipality, it's not assigned to something else.
Yeah.
But if the function is for that municipality, they can be budgeted in their own right, their own initiative, and do whatever, and no national can do anything. But I just think they will continue to understand the difference. The next one, budget allocation and transfers for air quality management functions at the local government level. As the conditional or in fact to prevent transfer of funds from air quality management to other functions that local authorities might consider a priority in service delivery, considering the competing demands for financial resources at this level. Government and industry should consider setting up a fund that would assist the victims of industrial pollution arising from poor environmental regulation during a pandemic, and also those arising from the unforeseen consequences of existing industrial operations. DIA, which currently leads the ATAPA source assessment study, should consider replicating the study in all the other remaining air quality areas to get a better understanding of what is happening in those hotspots. DIA should call for an air quality management summit that brings together key stakeholders from the three spheres of government and industry to share perspectives and experiences, as well as to develop a common and shared understanding of the way forward. Parliament should call relevant provincial legislative committees and mayors to share with them the observations made by this committee, with the aim of finding meaningful and sustainable solutions to existing challenges that deserve local authorities in discharging their responsibilities in respect to air quality management. It will be appropriate for the National Treasurer to be part of this parliamentary meeting. Parliament should consider interacting with the organized labor in a particular industry before engaging with the management of that industry to get a better understanding of the operations of the industry and likely impacts on labor and surrounding communities in terms of pollution and of any other industrial discharges.
If we don't have the one on the IGP, we can find a way of including the IGP should include environmental management matters and air quality in particular. Air quality management plans. It should be part of the IGP. Well, one thing that maybe we should separate our recommendations. Some recommendations, as we have put them here, must stick to municipalities, so that we are quite clear what we are saying on municipalities. So we can take all those recommendations that speak about municipalities, we put them under municipalities. Those that speak to DEA, you see, when we talk about the Air Quality Summit, isn't it we have already made a proposition that in the climate change provincial summit that DEA will be having, they must include correcting the anomalies in municipalities with regard to air quality management. So that again, this is an environmental matter. They will deal with climate change, but also with the air quality. So that's all that we are saying to DEA, because we did the right place already. So that will be under DEA, and whatever else that you are saying under DEA. Also, the other issue that we under here, the other issue that we're worrying about, the enforcing of implementation of our Air Quality Act by municipalities, including having the necessary human resource and the necessary finances. So the monitoring and enforcing thereof, we are saying it should be under here. So all those things will be under DEA. Also, there's DEA with companies to come up with a fund that will do whatever. Then there are recommendations by that speak to us what we must do as the committee. I think there must also be recommendations on industry. Those particularly that have. In fact, one of the recommendations we have already endorsed the schedules that were issued by the minister this year on air quality standards. They regulate, and therefore, as committee, we call on all industry, so that will be a mouthful. Those that have asked for postponements to meet the requirements of their postponement conditions, and that those that have not asked for any postponement to comply, so that we call on all industry to comply, because it is in the interest of our people. It is in the constitutional obligation. So there will then be four sections, one on industry, one on parliament, one on municipalities, including one. This is something that we have not said we ourselves are going to do. According to this, is it there, the recommendation? Or is there? Or that is us, where we're calling all the municipalities to come and, but not only them, but also legislators. And on municipalities, we will also include the IDPs. Is there any important matter that we have left out under the conditions? Yes, sir.
Of course, that's, as you said, that we must try and the national province has given a rule or whatever to to local government, and that has been the same response to the local government, local authorities, and club them there, and indicate what they are, their roles and their honor. And in that, part of what this industry should do is to train people and skill some people in terms of those who are going to be maintaining the monitoring system. Because what we observe is that some of these things are still from outside. Those who are buying this equipment from outside, and those who are maintaining are still outside. And for a considerable period of time, they have not transferred the skills for some maintenance or affection by locals. So we may want to change that responsibility so that we do it on our own. But last feature is that we have had some friends from various industries that they consider decommissioning some plants, although the purpose of our visit was not that. We may want them to make a specific presentation for some plants. May not be in this time. We may want to call them to get an understanding of what are we looking for towards 2020. So that we don't arrive in 2020 and the next thing they start using issues. It's like the kind of surprise. Let's get to understand what are these challenges towards that time. It's not so urgent, but it is. You know, it is. I'm just saying, if this year passes without us calling, it might be that all that well is wrong. And at some point, we need that interaction. Already, Eskom, Sasson and others were willing to send fillers. You know, that we may need to decommission, we plan we may need to do that, and so on. So, we can't claim that nothing happened, although we dismissed that during the meeting. But we need to be responsible and call at some point and say, what is yours for all the department at least? Get to understand from the department, we will not go directly to the industry. We may have been there. Yes. I'm not saying let's find a way of capturing this so that later it gets easier for us to invite for that kind of things.
And on top of that, you know, colleagues, you realize that there is a question that we deliberately put to all governments, industry, national, provincial, what are the effects of these pollution to our people, to the economy, to the ecosystem? Now, nobody has answered that question. Nobody. Apart from the vastity that we have. So, there is not deep speaking in our communities, in our ecosystem, to get the impact of pollution by all. Now, I don't know whether in this, are we saying that the government must work together with industry for this service? We have not said anything. But in our last report, we made mention of this, that in fact there must be regular research done, particularly in these hotspots. We know that one has been done now, but again, even the one that has been done now was limited to only human beings. Nothing on the ecosystem, nothing on the economy, the vast study. So we want a holistic study that gives us an indication of what is the impact of this pollution along the chain of human beings, ecosystems, agriculture. And that will fall under who? Here and the industry. So that we have a sense. What is the impact of this to the people of Zambela? The economy of Zambela, the ecosystem of Zambela, the agriculture of Zambela. What is the effect of this pollution on the people of the farm, the ecosystem, everything? In all these hotspots, we want the department to have a plan. Okay, you can't have a hotspot, but you can't measure the damage that is being done. It doesn't make any sense. And therefore they said that no, there are various universities, there are researchers, we don't care. Let them bring them here and tell us what are these researchers saying, what are these universities saying. Until they do so on a regular basis, we are not doing justice to protecting our people from a harmful environment. You can only say we're protecting them when we are able to measure the impact of pollution on their lives, on their economy, on their ecosystems, and on their agricultural work. So that's one other area, in my view, that we must make to both the industry and to government. They must come up here. Of course, there is also the retrospective ad that we have here. It's well covered, the retrospective one, where they put up the fund. But now, even if you were to put up that fund must be saying what has happened. But now, when you have not even done a study, you might put up a fund thinking that this might be the conditions that are existing. But when you have not done the study, in fact, that study must go before the fund. We must know what is the state of pollution and the harmfulness in all the areas that have been termed hotspots. And it's a matter that is urgent, very, very urgent in my view. Colleagues, let's take this report. We have heard what you have to say. We will then on apportionment study, we're saying it must be replicated in everything. But with one thing in mind, we must be able to point out the person who causes people to be sick, or industry that causes people to be sick. We must be able to apportion blame. So this study will assist us a great deal. Should we even say that this study must be fact-checked? So that we know in Zandela, who are, well, we have this study was Zandela and the Verena Hengel, who are these people who are causing this damage to our people? And what is the level of damage? Of course, what is going to get that Val Health study to get an indication? But they are also contesting that before they even give it to us themselves. They are contesting that health study. I don't know what the health study is saying. But I think let's force them to have a distinct. On a regular basis, we will decide what is the regularity. At least if every 5 years, we can go to a community that is under hotspot and measure the damage in the ecosystem, in the economy, etc. But it's something that we have to discuss ourselves when we bring the report back to everybody's report. The last issue from my side, Schiller and Raskos.
Mm-hmm.
You said in the body of the report there are reasons why we undertook, but from a writing report perspective, you should not stumble upon the reason somewhere under conclusions. The reasons must be upfront, because you know why we went there.
Mm-hmm.
Must be upper, and if you want to report them under your conclusions, it's up to you. But the reasons why we undertook an oversight visit must be there, including that we did undertake one, by the way, that we never completed last year. So they must be upfront, so that people know why we went there. People must not just guess we were there, they don't even know what we went there to do. So that is very important upfront. The other matter that we have raised, we have covered the discussions quite well in the other area that we visited, except the first day. Day one, we say nothing in any Mr. Abesiza from Mumu's part. Then Mr. all these things we had from Mumu's part and the presentations by industry, which were good, but you have those presentations under something. Under observation, under findings. because when you come to find the recommendation, that is captured to a certain extent. What were our impression of industry presentations? Sasol, Eskom, who? We know who. We don't even have all those that Shell, Tennessee, everybody. Are we of the view that they are honest, they are, and in the body of the report that I was saying, that they understand the obligations and they are working together with government to meet these conditions. But we got presentations from them. Can we take a question and explain under discussion their presentations?
Yes,
under discussion, take the presentations of our local authorities and their provinces, what they presented. I know that will not look nice. That was already in the finding, was saying so. That is, of course, it can't look nice. That's why we want them. That's why we are calling them. Because their presentations were, to say that it's terrible. That
no, thank you. I think
I was
just making a point on the aspect of the study itself. But I think that about the community, we must not be soft on you. In the sense that your world is advanced technologically, but nobody has globalized it. That in certain disciplines like medicine, there are trials of vaccines, AIDS, cholera, all those things, including anthrax and HEPA, all those have been defeated by the advance of technology. Now, why, when it comes to pollution, with the water resources that interest, they are not looking at solutions? So maybe we might recommend that in that time now, that we can't say in the past of the industry has not moved globally, let alone in South Africa, globally, they have not moved that saying that it can reduce this quality air. With the technology, maybe we must say, in as much as there is garbage, there will be investigations of the health and whatnot, but there must be, we must tie them down to find a solution to the gaps. But it seems that they are getting free, score free, because we are not tying them up to say, but why can't you come up with a solution when a disease like exactly with the ERDs? At that level, they are not advancing. So maybe we have got also to look outside. How are we dealing with it? So this industry has a sense of urgency. What I'm trying to say is, let's push them up the boundary. Let it not be a thing that's called, but they will comply with the question. Let's say they want radically move in terms of coming with a solution. That's what I want us to recommend. So it didn't make sense in the other gentlemen were moving, but they were not in the move. And in fact, there was a vaccine for them. But then it was the air pollution that was moving, and they're making a lot of money. So if we can have that element for pollution, even if best practice intellectually, what is happening? But you can craft it nicely, and just thinking it up, and Dr. Koti can help us with that problem.
Just three things, Chair. First, let me start by what we also got from the department during the visit, and it's not captured in the report. The department says they are not able to make a case towards industry because they must first do other studies. For instance, the study that assesses a normal community where there's no industry, and then be able to say, in this community, this is the kind of diseases or whatever the community members have, and go to the one that has got this industry and say, this is the situation, so that they're able to say, it is industry that impacted on these people, because a normal community is supposed to be like this. Those studies we do not have. And I'm saying, Chair, we must be able to push the department to conduct those studies speaking. But at a legal level, it's like
they are unable to feed industry. Because in Africa, I say, even normal communities suffer the same thing. Now, it's a major challenge to me that we are not able to push government more with speed to conduct these things, because then they give us a chance. That's one. Two, the monitoring stations that we have got, some are a year, 2 or 3 years old. It's like there's no plan for their maintenance. We did not get that service. Whether if they were to phase, even give accurate data, what will happen? We can be paid to square one. Now, we may want the department to ensure, together with industry, that these monitoring stations, there's a plan for their maintenance, so that at least we can have that done. The last part is last year. Is our report, it's not complete in the main. It's not balanced, because we do not have a view from NGOs. Yeah. Something we wanted to do, we are still going to meet them on the 21st. Of August. What I want us to know is the committee is what will happen. Upon going to that meeting, are we going to insert that here, or we'll have that as another part, but then we're not able to balance the two reports out. I'm just saying, let's try and think what we may need to do, because this needed that input. But within the same track, we have been conducting something that is now here, but is not coming here to you. We have been conducting visits to provinces and so on without considering the view of labor, which is a major omission. Now, I want us to find a way of getting labor to give us their input. It is very possible that unions that operate within these industries might have done their own studies. Very possible. So that even at the national level, they can come to parliament, make a presentation on how they are affected within the environmental space. And they can just come one morning, present what they've done, and then what they is their own perspective. So at least we've got a sense in the country. Even if we can balance it out now with this issue. But I'm just saying these two, we need to do something. We can't just continue without their input, but claim to have a national perspective on what is happening in terms of when only we have gone to management, government, and then listen to business, but labor is left out. It can be caught. I know that's likely. Coming in the future, we need to meet. We may want them now. We may not have to wait for the next financial year or something like that.
Thank you very much, sir. There are a number of recommendations. Each concern now, sir, because I don't know which one I will address today, but the one that's in front of us, or we can go to the
committee.
We are
not adopting anything now. When you can throw anything, you know, we'll go and write, then bring it back, and then say, hey, we catch up. That's what you said, you know. Yeah. But for now, we're just having discussion, and we'll take everything that what is said. Now, the most difficult one of everything that you said is the one that has been said by all your money.
I will say, these guys must find innovative ways of doing away with the PM10 and PM24 and all themselves, because technology has advanced. They must invest in technologies that do away. Of course, Sasol has done away with PM, by the way. Yes. Why can't others do so? And the point that I think this point is also correct, because also the WIF kept on making that point that even if you were to maintain your compliance status, it doesn't mean that in the overall, after years, people have no harm. These deaths are not harmful to people because you have maintained your 200 or whatever
from 600 PM. So there is still harm. Why can't we come with technologies that do not? And I think you are right, Professor Madrid. Sorry, Honorable Madrid, I'm going to call you a wrong name. You are right. Why don't we go to countries that have done away with this matter? That have, because I think, again, we can also find from those countries, how do they even, how have they measured their progress? How have they measured their progress in relation to this? You're right, not the countries, your Norway, your Sweden. And how have they, of course, please don't go to China. Worse than us. So let's go to those countries that have done wonderful. Let's do our research. Baba, if you can just get which countries have done their best in relation to air pollution management or air quality management. And because then we might also learn other things that we want the department to do. Like what Makubela was saying. How do you compare between those communities that have been touched by industrialization and those that have not been touched when you're not even satisfied? How do you speak? But with that, I think all the points that have been made now are quite relevant. But of course, we're saying in our recommendations, they get into the wish list of recommendations, and we'll bring it back here, where you can then tell us, are you ahead with all this or are you ahead with all this? But I think we must, as a committee, have a sense of benchmarking on this matter. We must have a sense of benchmarking. And you can only benchmark with those that have advanced, either in technology and in caring for their own communities. In other countries, let alone polluting through air. You pollute with your paper, you are arrested. Yeah, you throw a paper out of the window, you are on. Let alone when you drink while driving. They don't only arrest you, but they also take your life on the spot. This demerit system, they don't work there. They take your license. You can ask Stephen Pinar, he can tell you a good story. He can tell you a very good story what happened to him. When he was caught, he stayed for 6 months without a license. 6 months. So you know, in this country, we in the woman rapper, we drink and jive with the county roads. I'm telling you. But yes, I think we have done quite some stuff. Is there anything that you want to add? We have. Scott and also Chidera, if you can go with anything, of course we'll assist and invite you to the report. Chidera, why don't we look at your other matter on Friday? Your minutes. Your minutes on Friday. Oh, are they quick? Oh, two days. I've not even seen them. Okay. Okay. Yes.
Like you're saying, that is not long. We never can have the writers well on one day in soon after. From me on page 3 and 4, the article and I think it is not a very effective decision. Which under 2, item 2, on the last paragraph, last part, one part of the bullet. Under the committee that says, the third one, line 2, out of top by member countries, not member countries. The other, on the very last paragraph, also included on the clarification on the Brazil Convention, not Brazil. And then on page 4,
the last part one bullet, the second line. Because the community stopped the department intervention, not stopped. There should be a change somewhere there. And then the very last, number four, the chairperson sent everyone for the participation and agenda meeting.
Yeah.
Not agenda meeting.
That's perfect. Yes. That's the report. any other input? Yes. This is the crime policy. Okay, but if any more of us? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the manifesto as a true reflection with the corrections. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Second, Mgeta. Thank you very much. Colleagues, that then concludes our discussions today. And thanks again. Particularly on the report, I think we went beyond the call of duty in dealing with the report, but many members were there. And also the recommendation, I think they'll go a long way. And we agree with all colleagues that we must push the boundaries of all the departments, all the municipalities, and also on the industry. Industry can't just contribute with impunity and nothing happens. We must be at this even during our lifetime. We must be proud when we are of pensionable age that we did something that is worthwhile and we did change our people's lives for the better in this age of their point. With those words, I'm done and we are all done. Thank you very much. Our next meeting, as you will know, is on Friday. We are meeting with Sunday. Dealing with what they do. You remember those who were there, we went to, what is that, my nice place? Botanical Garden. Now, instead of them showing us around, they started with the presentations that we have not come for. We came there to be shown around. Now, we want them to come with those presentations so that we ask them serious questions and because the capacity that they are building, all the tools that they have. So Sandy and Source, I guess Source as well. These are the two entities that are going to should be done by 1 o'clock. Colleagues, that concludes this meeting. I'm told that land is ready there. You know that we are sitting at 1 o'clock. Thank you very much. Let's grab something to sell.
Office
commander in chief.
Oh, it's not on the road.
Okay.
Now there's not enough of that.
Yeah, it looks like the kid does not
have.
I like it.
Hey,